If you have your Bibles with you this morning, you can turn with me to Romans chapter 16. This morning we read in 2 Thessalonians 2, where Paul, he describes himself as having been both a mother, all we were gentle among you, even as a nurse, as a mother cherishes her children. That was in verse 7. And then he also describes himself as a father to them with these words: as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father, thus his children. That was verse 11. He did all of this when he was ministering unto them there in the church of Thessalonica. He was as a mother. He was as a father. Well, now, having studied the first 15 chapters of Paul's letter to the church at Rome, would you say we've seen more of his fatherly side or his motherly side? Doesn't it seem like we've seen a lot more exhorting than cherishing? As we turn to Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 16, Paul now is about to reveal his motherly instincts towards those in Rome. Many believe that the verses you and I are going to examine this morning demonstrate Paul's compassionate and caring heart towards Christians more than any other portion that he's written. For certain, Paul expresses his deep love and appreciation towards his brothers and sisters who had faithfully ministered with him, ministered unto him, ministered unto others. Similar to the Ten Commandments, in which the first four of them deal with our relationship with God, and then the next six deal with our relationship with others, the first part of Paul's letter to those church in Rome has ministered in the aspect of his aspect with God's first commandments concerning our Lord. With the latter part of the book of Romans, dealing with our relationship with one another. In this last chapter, we're going to see how he is speaking about his relationship with others. We're going to see his motherly side. And as we focus on that, you'll be asking yourself, well, what kind of relationship do I have with my Christian brothers and sisters? Could it be enhanced just a little bit? I'm praying that Paul's example, as put forth in these 16 verses we're going to look at this morning, will stir you up to express your affection more deeply for one another. Whereas the apostle admonishes us to increase our love, he says this: increase your love towards all the brethren. He says that in 1 Thessalonians 4. 9 and 10. And then he says, I want you to salute one another with a holy kiss. We'll see that here in verse 16 in our present text. In the first 15 verses, Paul is going to encourage the church at Rome to receive, to greet, to salute certain ones in the faith. For those who had ministered unto him, with him, or were presently ministering unto others, he had a very special accommodation. I want you to think about the parable of the talents, Matthew chapter 25. Didn't the Lord have a very special accommodation for those who faithfully ministered? In fact, he says these words: I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. As a result of today's message, I'm trusting that every one of us will not only desire a holy kiss from our brethren, but we'll also desire their commendation because of our faithful service unto others. The Apostle Paul is going to devote the first two verses of this chapter in commending Phoebe. Notice, if you will, in verses 1 and 2 of Romans chapter 16, Paul's commendation of Phoebe. Now, first he's going to mention Phoebe's service to the church. Then he's going to mention the church's service to Phoebe. But let's take a look at verses 1 and 2, Romans chapter 16. Paul writes, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant to the church which is at Cenchrea. He writes, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a securer of many, and of myself also. Every now and then I get the opportunity to commend somebody to school or to a job. And I find it such a great delight if I can wholeheartedly give a glowing and gracious recommendation of that person. Paul commends Phoebe, who he describes here, first of all, as our sister. But Phoebe, whose name means bright and radiant, was more than a sister. She was, note this, a servant of the church there in Cenchrea. I did a little research and I found this. In most voluntary organizations, fire department, so forth, it seems that about 10% of those who belong to the organization actually do the labor within that organization. Now, in talking with pastors at different pastors' fellowships, I've asked the question, well, about what percent in the church do you perceive serve others in the church? And it comes up to about 20%. Whatever the percent was here in the church at Cenchrea, that was a seaport just a few miles east of the city of Corinth, Phoebe was part of it. Now, how did Paul come to know Phoebe? Well, according to Acts 18, verse 18, Paul, along with Priscilla and Aquila, had sailed out there to Syria at the very end of their missionary, first missionary journey. I'm thinking perhaps it was at this time that he became acquainted with Phoebe. Now, we know Paul personally knew Phoebe was a servant because she had ministered unto him, at least according to the last part of verse 2. Did you see that? Now, the word servant here is that Greek word diakonos, and it's translated minister 20 times, it's translated servant 7 times, and it's translated deacon 3 times. Now, there's no really way of knowing for sure if Phoebe held the office of a deaconess, or even if there's any such office, for the Bible's not clear on that particular matter when it comes to women. Now, we may refer to the wife of a deacon as a deaconess, but we do not know if Phoebe was even ever married. But what we do know is that Paul perceives her as a minister, as a servant unto others, yes, even himself. Look again at the last part of verse 2. For she hath been a securer, that is, a patron, a helper of many, and of myself also. In this passage, we are not told how she served Paul and others. It may have been by giving them food and drink, or by taking them in, or by clothing them, or by ministering to them when they were sick or in jail. All of this we can see Christ accommodating or giving accommodations for those who do such things in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 46. But we can and should follow Paul's example and look at your first purpose. We should purpose to commend those who are faithful servants unto others. We're always looking to praise somebody for something. Why not praise somebody for their service unto others? You want to praise your children? Praise them when they minister unto their siblings, when they minister unto others. Praise them for being servants. At work, what's wrong with praising others when you perceive that they're serving others? Or in school, the same thing. Now, look at your next purpose, though. I purpose to evaluate my ministry here at Grace. Am I a servant of the church? Because she was a true servant of the Lord, Paul exhorts the church now to do two things towards Phoebe. Did you catch that? Take a look at them. What were the two things? Here's the church's service to Phoebe. First of all, they were to receive her. Receive her in the Lord as become a saint. Now, most biblical scholars believe it was Phoebe who Paul commissioned to bring this letter to the church at Rome. When someone receives us, accepts us, are you appreciative of it? Hopefully you are. Paul is saying this should be your natural behavior. This is the natural behavior of a Christian, is to receive those who are in the Lord. In other words, we need to give a warm, hearty welcome, especially to those who come to us by commendation, perhaps of another pastor, perhaps of another Christian, perhaps of a missionary board. When they come to you with a commendation, we should wholeheartedly welcome them. We should make them feel right at home. We should make them feel part of the body. Now, I thank the Lord for the help God's given to me, because she, for the 43 years that we've been ministering here, has done that. I remember earlier in our ministry, we had a group. Dr. Harold came with a church planning group at that time. And they came they sat down. My wife said to them, "Take your shoes off, relax." They kind of looked over at her and said, "Oh, wow, that's a change." And the last home we were in, the pastor's home we were in, we had to dress up formally for every meal. She said, and they were so relaxed, and they commented on it, how my wife had made them feel just like they were at home. And, you know, that's what God would have us, you know, to do. Recently, we were up, remember, visiting in Maine, seeing Ned and Martha. Oh, they welcomed us in. They made us feel right at home. They gave us their bed. Don't expect me to do that for you, but they gave us their bed. And, you know, it was a blessing. This is what he's saying. They were to receive her. But now, secondly, he said, they were to assist her. Assist her, whatever business she had need of you. Now, it's wonderful for you and I to greet someone with kind words. But God may also have us minister to that individual with kind deeds. No doubt she would have had need of room and board. Why is that? Well, there are very few inns that existed in these days. And those that were inns also were brothels. So it wasn't a place that you'd like to really have to stay. So no doubt she would have need of room and board. She'd have perhaps need of someone taking her about for the business transactions that had to be performed in the city. Even food and drink, all right? If she wasn't wealthy, she would need finances and food to see her on her way. So look at a purpose that I put forth when I read these words. You know what? I purpose to receive and assist those who are commended to me. So having commended Phoebe, Paul now greets, he salutes, and by the way, greets, salutes in this passage, same Greek word. He greets, he salutes Priscilla and Aquila, and those in the church, which was in their home. Look at Paul's greetings now. And I want you to understand, as we go from verse 3 through 16, every one of these verses, except verse 4, includes a greeting or salutation. As I mentioned, it's the same Greek word. First of all, we see Paul greeting Priscilla and Aquila, verses 3 and 4 of chapter 16. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Now we know from Acts, and you can keep your marker here and turn back with me to Acts chapter 18. We know from Acts chapter 18, Paul first met Priscilla and Aquila in Corinth. Here in Acts 18, I'm going to read the first three verses, give you a little background. And after these things, Paul departed from Athens and he came to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born of Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Now, why had they come? Well, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occasion they were tent makers. So on his first visit now to Corinth, he meets this Jewish couple who had been expelled from Rome because of the emperor. And they had a couple of things in common. They were Christians, yes, but they were also what? Tent makers, right? Okay. They not only assisted Paul in his labors, but they also assisted him in his lodging, for we read he stayed with them. According to verse 18 in this same passage, hope you haven't left yet, but according to verse 18, Paul journeyed with them from Cenchrea to Ephesus. Let's read verses 18 and 19. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and he sailed hence unto Syria, with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Now, Paul spent a great deal of time ministering with this couple and became very fond of them, it seems. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 19, he indicates while they were at Ephesus, which we just read here, they established a church in their home, thus indicating that they ministered to more than just Paul. Look at verse 24 in this passage, Acts 18, verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born up at Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Remember, they got a church here now. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being very fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, and they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, whom when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. He is the Messiah. But because of their boldness to share the way of God, Apollos would be better equipped to assist others. They were indeed, what I'm trying to emphasize to you, they were indeed servants of God, serving Paul, serving others, men like Apollos. Now, please turn back with me to our text here in Romans chapter 16. In this passage, he refers to them not only as my helpers in Christ Jesus, but also, note this, as those who for my life laid down their own necks. Whether it was at Corinth, traveling with Paul to some distant city, or some way, somehow, they had placed themselves in danger for Paul's sake. And God had providentially used them to lengthen the ministry of the Apostle Paul, for which we read here he was extremely thankful. But we also read the other Gentile churches were also thankful that Paul would have further opportunity to minister unto them. It seems that after Emperor Claudius died, that's some more of the providence of God, that Aquila, Priscilla, then returned to Rome, where they began another church to which Paul sends his greetings. That's what he was doing, was also sending his greetings. Look at your purpose here. You know what? I purpose to send greetings to those who have been my helpers in serving the Lord and in serving me. Think about that. When was the last time, you know, some of us don't like to write. Most men don't care to write. But we can text, or we can give a phone call, or we can somehow communicate with those who have been our helpers in serving the Lord, in serving our own selves. Now, but look at the next point. I want you to see how Paul greets the church in their house. Look at chapter 16. Look at verse 5, the very first part of it. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Now, we're not told how many in the church were faithful servants, but I'm assuming there were many, hopefully more than 20%. But here's the purpose I came up with as I thought about that. You know what? I purpose to send a greeting to someone who was my helper in Christ Jesus. Do you know someone? Make a phone call. Send an email. And over the years, I've had a lot of different individuals minister with us here in the church, go other places, and afford me an opportunity to drop them a line, to call them, to give thanks for their ministry here at the church. And that's what God would have us to do. When someone's helped you, don't be afraid to send them a greeting, to show your appreciation. Greet them, salute them, give thanks unto them. Look at your purpose. I purpose to give thanks for those who have made sacrifices, not only for my physical growth, but yeah, maybe even more so for my spiritual growth. Paul is now about to greet, salute, same Greek word, more than 21 individuals and along with some entire households who were presently living in Rome. Let's take a look at our next one here, chapter 16, all right? Verse 5, the latter part, we have another greeting. He says to Epaphras, he says, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ? So he sends this greeting to him. He was well beloved. And it seems that he was well beloved because he was the first fruits, he was the first convert of Asia Minor, which is today called Turkey. It was probably the Apostle Paul who the Lord used to point him to Christ. Perhaps he was one of his first offerings. Remember we talked about offering up those we'd been used of the Lord to lead to Christ, verse 16. He was the first fruits, verse 5 of Paul, and he offered them unto the Lord. And of course, you read something like that, and then we have to scratch our head and go, well, who was the first fruit that I was able to offer unto the Lord? Have I been in contact with them over the years? Now, for me, my first fruit was my sister, Nan. Natalie and her two children. And it's kind of interesting now to see how those two children are trying to minister to their dad. He's just been diagnosed with lung cancer. And bad lung cancer. But so Because when I ministered to Nan back then, I ministered to Kenny too. And he was having an affair and chose to go that route. And so he rejected Christ. But you guys have heard me say, it's the Spirit of God, it's the Word of God, and when we get older, it's circumstances in our life that God will use to draw us unto Him. And I look and I watch now and I'm thinking, boy, here's a situation that this old reprobate Kenny, he deserves hell for sure. He mistreated my sister. Boy, if anyone deserves hell, you know, when you see other people hurting your people, you want to take up their offense. And yet I see God's kindness in bringing this sickness upon him and then sending these two children who I'd led the Lord years ago to minister to him. It's a blessing, but the point I'm trying to make is this. He's greeting this one who was probably his, one of the first converts that he had, at least in Asia Minor. And he's offering this one up. I come up with this purpose. You know what? I purpose to make contact with my first fruit, that first person the Lord used me to lead to Jesus, and give him a warm greeting. If you haven't done it, do it. Think about that one and send him a warm greeting. Well, Paul next greets Mary. Look at verse 6. Hey, he says, greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Who was Mary? Where did she come from? What was her status in life? All we know about Mary is this. She bestowed much labor on us. She had labored. And by the way, that particular word labor means to the point of exhaustion. All right, to the point of exhaustion. And was now laboring to those who were in Rome. She had ministered unto Paul, now she's laboring unto those who were in Rome. Here's what I found in my 43 years of this ministry. That those who ministered here in this church, when they moved away, you know what? They kept on ministering. The Babbins, whether they were in Arizona, in Guam, and now in Alabama, they're still ministering. Ned and Martha Faulkner, hey, they ministered here in this church, but you know what? They're ministering up in that church. And Martha, she walks like this, but she's still ministering. That's what I found. And that's what was the situation with Mary. Yeah, Mary ministered unto us, but now she's ministering those in Rome. Well, look at your purpose. I purpose to strive to be known as a labor for Christ, no matter where I serve. Well, look at verse 7. He says, salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Now, they may be husband and wife. Paul describes them in four ways. There's two my's and there are two who's. Did you catch that? First, he says, my kinsmen. So they could have been fellow Jews, or maybe they were related to Paul somehow. He says, my fellow prisoners. There had to have been a time when they were incarcerated with one another. And then he says this, who are of note among the apostles. Their ministry was of such that even the apostles took note of it. And then it says, who were in Christ before me? They were converted to Christ even before the apostle Paul. What kind of purpose might I come up with that? Well, look at what I said. I purpose to send a greeting to another who served or suffered with me in serving Christ. Verse 8, he says, greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Now, beloved in the Lord, he said this a couple of times. Some believe because this name was a common name given to slaves, that he had been or was still a slave. Now, if that's so, Paul, by addressing him as my beloved, was demonstrating what he had written in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. What did he write there? He writes, there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Purpose. By my greetings, I purpose to remind myself, you know what? We're all in Christ Jesus. Then he greets in verse 9, he says, salute your brain, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Again, my beloved. In this verse, we got two more saints. Again, their name were common slave names. Urbane is described as our helper, also fellow labor in Christ. Stachys is referred to as my beloved. And we saw that back in verse 5, my beloved, verse 8, my beloved, verse 9, my beloved. And here we'll see it in verse 12. I purpose to greet those who strive to be a fellow laborer in Christ. Now we got another listing. Look at verse 10. He says, salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are Aristobulus' household. Now watch. In this verse and in the next verse, Paul first greets an individual and then he greets a whole household. Apelles, he says here, he's approved of Christ, which means that this man had been tried and accepted. However, God had called on him to serve. He had passed with flying colors. Wouldn't that be nice to be identified as one who had been tried and accepted? Aristobulus' household, now here's the thing. He may not have been saved the way he addresses us, but some in his family were Christians. That's what many believe as they read this. He, this one, was not saved, but there were individuals in his household who were Christians. Some believe that he was, in fact, the grandson of Herod the Great. I don't know for sure. Look at your purpose. Oh, I purpose to greet those who have been tested and endured and have been accepted of the Lord. Good ones to greet. Now, verse 11. Let's move on quickly. He says, salute Herodian, my kinsmen. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. So do you see how he's doing this? Herodian, my kinsman, okay, he is either physically or spiritual relative of both, or maybe both. Narcissus' household, again, though he may not have been saved, some in his household were Christians. Some identify him as an aide of Claudius, who was forced to commit suicide by Agrippa after Nero's accession to the throne. But in those households where there was a husband or a father, he's not a Christian, or he's passed away, we need to seek to encourage those who are in Christ. That's what we learn in these verses. So look at your purpose. I purpose to encourage those households whose husband or father is unsaved or gone. Verse 12. He says, okay, greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Now, three names mentioned here are women's names. Some believe the first two were sisters. Why? Because of the similarity of their names, okay? Tryphena means delicate. Tryphosa means dainty. Paul here identifies all three of them as laborers in the Lord. In referring to the sisters, the word labor is in the present tense. But when referring to Persis, labored is in the past tense. So what am I saying? Well, it may indicate that the youngers were still serving, but Persis is older at the end of her, at the end of her service. Because did you see how she's described? She had labored how much? Much. Labored much. So these three women, along with Mary, they are identified as laborers. Look at your purpose. You know what? I purpose to greet those, both young and old, who labor serving the Lord. Verse 13. Paul greets Rufus and his mother, all whom the Lord has ordained to be saved, could be said to have been chosen. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Paul is not referring to Rufus' salvation. He's indicating his service for the Lord. It was extraordinary. It was exemplary. Now, he might be the same Rufus as mentioned in Mark chapter 15, verse 21. And they compelled one, Simon a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear the cross. It may well have been his father who carried the cross of Christ. And it may well be that at this time, Rufus personally came to know the Lord as his Savior. But look at your purpose. I purpose to greet those chosen in the Lord and those who have ministered unto me. Now look at verses 14 and 15. We've got a quick group here to take a look at. We've got salute our Synecdoche, Philegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philegomus and Julia and Nerus and his sister and Olympus and all the saints which are with them. So in these two verses, Paul seems first to greet the leaders and then those who were in the assembly. Did you see that? First, the individuals, and then he mentions in the phrase, and the brethren which are with them. And then the second verse, and the saints which are with them. So it seems that the apostle had gone out of his way to include both Jews, Gentiles, aristocrats, slaves, women, men, in his greetings. Remember what he said? There's neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor free, female, but we're all one in Christ Jesus. And then Paul finally says this, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. This admonition can be found in other writings. 1 Corinthians is writing to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 16, 20. To the church at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 26. He admonished them to do the same. The holy kiss. This is a practice that was practiced not only by the Eastern countries, but many places around the world. When Teresa and I went to Brazil, we were greeted with a holy kiss. And that kiss is forehead or on both cheeks. But notice he's illustrating this. This is not a romantic kiss on the lips. It's a kiss. It's a holy kiss, he says here, all right? And much like they greeted their blood relatives, they were to greet their spiritual brothers and sisters. It was a sign of just deep affection for one another. Today in our Western church, a lot of this has been replaced with a hearty handshake, or I'm even now with our COVID, a knuckle punch, whatever. But it's here's what it is. You know, when we're talking about a kiss, we're talking about a hug, we're talking about handshake, it must be and it should remain holy. And that's what, and that's what's important, that we don't arouse emotions, we don't arouse imaginations by our greeting, but rather we communicate, we have a deep appreciation of that individual. So your purpose, look at it. I purpose to strive to greet my brothers and sisters with a pure and sincere greeting. All right, so watch. How did the apostle demonstrate his motherly side? He did it with his greetings. You can demonstrate your motherly side with how you greet others. When you see them, personally, you see them, all right? Or when they're away from you, with a letter, with a note, you can show that by the way you greet them, by your greetings. So I'm trying to share with you, listen, you can show your kinder side, you can show your compassionate side by how you greet. You know individuals that when they greet you, they're down the lip, they're sad, and you see them, and listen, we can't always be happy, okay? Because sometimes we got situations going on in our life that causes us to be down. But at the same time, you can try to think about others. And the way you think about others is the way you greet them, how you greet them. Yeah, good to see you. Now that just kind of sends chills up your back, doesn't it? But that takes it out of the realm. You know, we got a lot going on in our life. We might... caught our foot in a door in the morning and, we come limping in. But we can show our compassion towards others by how we greet them. Whether it's a personal greeting, hey, can't you tell when somebody's happy to see you? Can't you? I mean, we just had Thanksgiving. And you had people come into your home. And you know those who are happy to see you. And you know those who could, they don't care. They just don't care. Well, let's, as Christians, not only at times do we have to show our fatherly side of exhorting and charging, but let's try to show that motherly side of comforting, of encouraging. And a wonderful way that we can do that is by how we greet one another. With our smiles, with the notes we send them. Ask God to give you somebody that this week you can show to them your motherly side. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you for the admonition that we've received from your word today, the example that we've received from your word today, the example of Paul showing compassion, showing concern, showing his love towards his brothers and sisters in the Lord. Be they rich, be they poor, be they black, be they white, whatever, be they Jew, be they Gentile, Lord, help us, I pray, to be able to just show a more compassionate heart and concern for our brethren, for our sister. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.